Now concerning spiritual gifts, that word there is in italics, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. And no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. Verse 4. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administration, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but the same God that worketh all in all. Can we take verse 7 together, everybody? One to go. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit without. That's key. Anytime you find the word every man in the Bible, it refers to that which came by the virtue of identification. That is, it came because Christ died. You know, if I should be lifted up from the earth, I would draw all men unto me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Every time you find an all-inclusive word, it's a function of what God has freely given. That's why the term is used, every man. So, just like that, we have said here that the gifts of God are free. They're free because they come through Christ. They come through Jesus. Now, last week, we took a step further. Now, let me just give a brief look at certain things in verse 4. Now there are diversities of gifts, it says, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administration, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operation, is the same God that worketh on all. Now, basically, if you look at the, oftentimes it's because people are not lettered in the things of God, that's why they've not been able to explain these three. Now, just where we got to chapter 12, we read down to verse 27 and 28, you begin to see Paul ask some rhetorical questions, and people believe that he was talking about gifts. And we have seen that he wasn't talking about gifts, because he had told you here that the classification had to do with gifts, then it goes on to administration, that's ministry, then it goes on to the operations of the gifts in the ministries. So oftentimes people mix it up, and then they can place what is where. So again, I would make the emphasis again that Paul classifies the things of the Spirit. What then, spirituals, is a Greek word pneumatikos. He classifies the things of the Spirit into three. Number one, the gift, which is by the Spirit. Number two, he tells you about the ministries. That's the word administration. Then he says the third one, the operations, where God works the gift all in all. Obviously, when it says the rise of administration, but the same Lord that works, all, the same Lord is referring there to the ministries in the church. There uses the ministry. Where it uses Lord, it refers to the body of Christ. Where it uses the word gifts of the Spirit, it refers to individual members of the body. Now, where it uses the operations, it's referring to the gifts in the individual members of the body. There are diverse ways by which these gifts of the Spirit that were listed here will work in different individuals. And now, you look at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, from verse 7 says, "And to every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gifts of Christ. Wherefore he said, when ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men." He gave what? Gifts unto men. He gave gifts unto men. So he begins to tell you the gifts that he gave. And in verse 8, and in verse 11, he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. So we can say that also the administrations are what? Gifts. Alright? Even the ministries themselves are gifts. In Romans chapter 12, verse 4, that is, if we look at the wider context of the teaching of the things of the Spirit, everything are gifts, but for the sake of teaching and then explanation of the concept, Paul uses it, lists the nine as gifts of the Spirit. But he talks about the other things which you just read now as gifts of Christ. Gifts of Christ, talking about gifts in the body. Now, definitely too, the operations of the gifts in the body definitely are also gifts. Now look at Romans 12, verse 4, for as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many have one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Of course, at this point again, when you hear everyone members of the body, is referring to ministry. It says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. So at this point, he's talking about ministry, and then in the body of Christ, and he calls them gifts. So the ministries are gifts, the gifts of the Spirit are gifts, definitely the operations are gifts. Because in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it lets you know that all these things, verse 11, worketh the one and selfsame Spirit, dividing unto every man severally as he will. Every man there is every ministry. So all the ministries have the gifts of the Spirit working in what they are doing. There's no ministry devoid of the gifts of the Spirit. That's obvious. Now, in Romans chapter 11, you discover again, Paul talks about verse 29, that the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. Now, the word callings there, of course, obviously talks about service, ministry. He says they are without repentance. The obvious fact is this, that whatever God has given, it doesn't withdraw. It's now left on the beneficiary, as we have seen in the case of Timothy, to stir it up and not to neglect it. Now, last week we got to a point where in 1 Corinthians 12, so that we can move forward a bit. Now, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 8. Now, if you read from verse 8 down to verse 10, you will see listings. You will see tongues. You will see interpretation. You will see prophecy. You will see word of knowledge. You will see word of wisdom. You will see discerning of spirits, give faith, healings, gifts of healings, and workings of miracles. And I told you that basically you see the one through one. Actually, the word there is through one. The English says to one. And people have felt that that to one was talking about one person. No, that to one, don't forget, he told you earlier, verse 4, that there are diversities of what? Gifts. So he says, through one is given. Through one is given. That is, through one gift of the Spirit is available, the word of knowledge. Through another is available. That word there is another, another, another. Talking about the distinctions between the gifts of the Spirit, showing you that there's not one gift of the Spirit. There are several gifts of the Spirit. So it tells you in verse 11, all this worketh the one and selfsame Spirit, dividing, that word is distributing to every man severally as every man needs. So every man requires. There cannot be a ministry without the gifts of the Spirit. What makes it ministry is the working of the gifts of the Spirit in the ministry. So obviously, what Paul is teaching is the diversity. So as we have word of knowledge, we have word of wisdom. As we have word of wisdom, we have the sign of spirit. Now, you will see something now. Don't forget again, as I've always said, in understanding scripture, take away the verses and see a straight like letter. It says there are diversities of gifts, the same Spirit. There are diversities of administrations, the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, the same God that worketh all in all. Now, see that. Take away 4, 5, and 6. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit without. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit without. Unto one is given. Now, when it says is given, obviously, it's referring to verse 4, the gifts of the Spirit. List 9 of them. Now, when he finished discussing, now moves to the body. And that lets you know that all these things worketh by the Spirit. Right? By who? Aha. They work by the Spirit. They don't work by prayer. They don't work by fasting. They don't work by the kind of church you attend. They work by the Spirit. So verse 12 and 13 points you to something very important. Don't forget, it's not in verses. It's a straight letter. 12 says, as the body is one, hath many members. So put your mind, when you say hath many members, what is your mind going to? Ministries, intelligence. He says, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. Okay? So he says, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. It shows you that we all have the same access into the body. Okay? Now he says again, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. All these things worketh the one and the selfsame Spirit. So he's saying that that working of the Spirit is present in every member of the church. We have all been made to drink into one Spirit. So we don't differ in the gifts of the Spirit, because it is by the Spirit that we have all received. We don't differ where we differ. We don't even differ in the operations, because you can be too fast to go to the operations. Don't forget, the operations worketh all in all. So the operations will relate back to the gifts, and then the operations are the relationship between the gifts and the ministries. We don't differ in gifts, we only differ in ministries. And the operations will only differ in the ministries to the degree where we define ministry. We don't differ in the possession, as it were, of the gifts of the Spirit. We only differ in the operations of those gifts based on where we stand and sit in the body of Christ. Let me see your hand if you understand that. Because we have all been made to drink into one Spirit. Now he begins to teach and tells you about, you know, how each body, there are some parts of the body that you may not think they are important. Some are important and all that. You have care one for the other, and it shows you what is in the body. Verse 27. Now you are the body of Christ and members in particular. You know the interesting part? He began to speak about people get lost from verse 14. Because from verse 14 down to verse 26, he was referring to the human body. Oftentimes, when you see a parable like that, don't let the lesson be lost. The issue is the lesson there. It's not to now say, well, am I the hidden part? Am I the part that does not bestow much honor? Am I the part that doesn't have much? Am I the... It's a simple illustration. He didn't say, in the body of Christ, we have some weaker members. God has set it like that. He didn't say, in the body of Christ. He's just showing you that in every physical part, in every physical body, is tempered in the physical body like that, because that's how God made it. Say some parts that we think they are not important. He said God wants us to care for each one. He said because they are part of one body. He's not referring to the body of Christ. He's only using an illustration. Are you following what I'm saying here? Are you getting this? He's just using an illustration. Now, when he wants to talk about the body of Christ, he now tells you look at verse 26. He says that there should be no schism in the body, verse 25, that the members should have the same care one for another. He is not talking about the body of Christ. He's talking about the physical body. We can only draw a lesson from that. Don't think that God has set some feeble members in the body. God has set some uncomely members. He's talking about the physical composition of the body. Now, he now brings it. Listen carefully now. He brings it. He's showing you that, look, every member of his physical body, a physical body, demands honor. So he goes to verse 27 and he says, now. That now means that he was not talking about you. Are you following this? Are you following this? Aha. He says, now. Now. Now you are the members, you are the body of Christ, and members in particular. You are the members of Christ. You see? So in verse 28, and God has set some in the church. Now, he had told you that God has set, in verse 18, the members in the physical body as it pleased him. Now, he now goes, that's what you should take. And now go to 28, God has set some in the church. Firstly, apostles. Secondly, prophets. Thirdly, teachers. At that point, he's discussing ministry, because we have seen that in Ephesians 4. Now, he goes on to say, after that, there's only one way to conclude, is beginning to talk about operations. After that, miracles, gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversity of tongues. Now, how do we know he's talking about operations? Because the operations also relate in the body of Christ. And he had listed the ministry. He had listed the gifts of the Spirit. So, he's here referring to the operations of the gift in the body. We're going to see something in a moment. I know the interesting part is that you see, when you are a religious mind, I was chatting with somebody on Facebook and we were talking, you know, I just met him. I think he's an American, Pakistani, so he said he loved my post. I always put the Bible and I said, look for me, and we became friends. So early this morning, you know, I was up about 1:30 a.m. or thereabouts. So I came on Facebook at 3:30. So he said, he said he was waiting for me to come on. So I said, how are you? He said, fine. So he said, he now said, you see, he was asking me some questions. He said, do you believe in one saved, forever saved? I said, I don't use cliches. What I do is that when I teach you, you will know whether you are forever saved or you are forever doomed. There's no point using cliches. So that I say, this is my own group. We are in this group of saying that, are you a Pentecostal? You know the funny part. He said, I said, who is a Pentecostal? He said, anybody that speaks in tongues. I said, let me shock you. He said, what? I said, are you aware that those who spoke in tongues on the day of Pentecost did not celebrate Pentecost? That's why they spoke in tongues. Those that are celebrating Pentecost, they gather to watch them. He said, well, I never knew. I said, that's what I'm sharing with you. That's because you never knew. If you knew, you don't have asked that question. So when I began to ask me, he said, do you believe in this? I said, I don't use cliches. Let us share the Bible together. You see, that's the point. People have cliches. They will say, do you believe every believer should speak in tongues? Why should that be the question? Why not let us look at 1 Corinthians 12 together and say, what is the Bible saying? Why should you attach a cliche to the statement? Do you believe that Christ, Jesus, he told me, if I were through, because he was asking about predestination, God's sovereignty, when we're through, he said, you know what, I have never seen anybody explain this concept so clearly like this. I said, number two, I don't teach concepts. He said, I know, I was just trying to use it. I said, well, I don't teach concepts. If I teach Christ, whatever concept you get out from that, good for you. You should know. By the time I explain to you that Jesus is the word of God, I said, do you believe? He said, I do. I said, fine. So it is in Christ Jesus that we know the will of God. He said, yes. He said, beautiful. So he began to look at it. Ah, he said, it's true. God cannot put anybody to go to hell. I said, beautiful. If God cannot put anybody to go to hell, therefore, why did Christ die? He said, he died for all. He said, it's very simple. So if he died for all, he said, but why are people not saved? I said, it's very simple. Why didn't you know? You know, you think that God is one, somebody using remote control from heaven. So you, stop. Oh, yeah, pray. Don't stop. Don't pray now. If you pray. God, yeah, sin. 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 If you don't sin. Lord, don't say, sin. Sin. It's very simple. So, people get to this portion of scripture and then they lose the thought. I'll show you something very simple now. That even people that are what people did couldn't explain it like that. I asked somebody, I was joking with the person. I said, what was he? I said, Pastor, I can't listen. He said, operations. Man, the person, I said, don't worry. You'll get this. You will see it. Now, let's watch. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Verse 29. Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healings. At this point, you know, everybody can say, well, since every believer don't heal anyway, if you go to any church, not everybody leaves, so they don't bother themselves about the workings of miracles and gifts of healing. People are running away from being apostles anyway. They don't want to be prophets. They don't care. They don't want to be teachers. But then the one that seems to be common, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret. You see what I'm saying? Now, we saw last week that speaking tongues and interpretation was grouped in verse 28 as what? Diversities of tongues. You see? So, he said the diversity of tongues is in tongues and interpretation. Do you know what he's asking? Look at the next statement he makes. And I'll provoke your thinking now. You know, Paul was teaching that, we said that he was teaching the operations. In other words, he was teaching ministry. Okay? Okay? In the body. He said, are all. Now, when we say are all, you think what he's saying, again, people think what he's saying for all the questions. That he's saying, you see, are you a prophet? He's teaching them now. He can't be asking such kind of questions. Okay? Now, look at, don't take away your religious cap. Diverse displays. That you remove the verses. and see the simplicity of what Paul was saying. He says, do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But desire earnestly the best gifts, and I show unto you a more excellent way. You know, people believe that the more excellent way was love. He never said so. He said the more excellent way was love. He's not saying the more excellent way was love. He didn't say gifts of the Spirit are good, operations are better, love is the best. What would that sound like? He isn't saying that. He begins to talk about love. And then he begins to mention prophecy and knowledge, and people think he's talking about the gifts of prophecy or knowledge of the word of God that it will pass away. He didn't. Because he didn't use the word epignosis there. Perfect knowledge that comes from the Spirit of God. It doesn't pass away. If you go to heaven, just like we saw, when you enter heaven, even if you go to hell, you remember your name. The rich man knew his name, knew he had brothers, knew Abraham. Okay? So if you think knowledge will pass away, he was referring to earthly knowledge. And the gift of prophecy he used there was human prophecy. Human proclamation of knowledge. He's not talking about the gift of the Spirit. That's not what he's referring to. When he referred to again, and he says that they will fail, he's not talking about the word of God. Because the word of God is prophecy. The testimony of Jesus is filled of all prophecy. How can you say that one will fail? Revelation 19:10. He was referring to human nature. That's what he was saying. That it will fail. I be so my goods and I have not love. There's nobody with the gift of the Spirit called prophet that doesn't have love. If you don't have love, you're not born again. Are you following me? So that's not the more excellent way. We'll see the more excellent way now. So he says in there, verse 14, follow after. If somebody says he shows you a way, that means you should follow. Have you? What's the reason for showing you a way? So that you will do what? So what is the way? Follow after love and desire. You see? And desire spiritual things rather that you may prophesy. He that speaks in tongues speaks not unto men but unto God. For no man understand him, howbeit in the spirit he speaks mysteries. Go back to verse 30. Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? You know it will be funny? Look up. Let me teach you simple Bible explanation. He had said, God has set diverses of tongues. He didn't include interpret. We saw that together, right? So he now says, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret. That's what he said. He explained that diversity of tongues. He says, therefore, covet earnestly the best gifts. I show you a more excellent way. Now, in verse 14, chapter 14, he begins to explain those operations. He that speaks in tongues speaks unto God, not unto men. No man understands him, howbeit in the spirit he speaks mysteries. He said, he that prophesies speaks unto men for edification, for comfort, and for exhortation. So he says, what you are going to do now, you are going to desire to prophesy. So what did he say? Desire the best gifts. What was he teaching? Desire to prophesy. Why? Because tongues and interpretation is war. Are you getting me? So he said, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret. He was saying one thing. Those that speak with tongues, do they interpret? Well, maybe not all. So therefore, desire to what? Interpret. Is that clear? Are you still lost? Should I go right again? It's as simple as ABC. What he asked to desire, the operation he asked to desire was what? Prophecy. Tongues plus interpretation is what? So he said, do all interpret, do all speak with tongues. He was talking about the operation of the gifts of the Spirit through tongues and interpretation. He brought it together. You know, in 1 Corinthians 12, he separated tongues and interpretation and prophecy. But when it comes to operations, he brought them together under what? Diversity of tongues. Tongues plus interpretation. That is the operation. And that is available unto every child of God. Because he begins to teach it. Because people stop there, do all. The reason why all do not is not because all cannot, is because they don't desire. Have you not seen it? Are you still there? So what he asked you when he said desire the best gifts, he didn't ask you to go and be desiring apostle. He said desire to prophesy. That's what he's saying. Desire to prophesy. Amen. So desire to prophesy. He that prophesies speaks unto men to edification, to exhortation, and to comfort. He that speaks in tongues edifies himself. But he that prophesies edifies the church. I would rather that you speak with tongues. Okay? But rather that you prophesied. I would that you all speak with tongues rather than you prophesy. For greater is he that prophesies than he that speaks with tongues, except he interpret, that the church may receive edification. So when he used the word desire the best gift, that word actually in the Greek is greater. It was referring to the greater operation of the gifts of the Spirit. Tongues plus interpretation. That's what he said to the desire. That's the operation that he asks that we desire. Very well explained. Is anybody here? Are you following? Okay. So in verse 6, he says, now, if I came unto you speaking with tongues, except verse 5, he interprets that the church may receive edification. That the church. Now, what did he set in the church? Look up. Don't get lost. Diversity of gifts, but the same what? Diversity of ministries, but the same. Okay? Lord refers to what? The body. What did he set in the church? Ministries. The operations of the gifts in the ministries. Are you listening? He says, he that speaks in tongues will edify himself. He that speaks in tongues and interprets will edify the church. So that means, speaking with tongues and interpreting is what? Ministry. That is diversities of tongues, which God has set in the body. Exactly. So those that say, do all speak with tongues, and they hang on that scripture, not knowing what they say. Just read further. It will explain the question he asked. It will explain it. So, tongues plus interpretation is the operation called diversity of gifts, which is a ministry. That's a diversity of tongues, which is a ministry. Look at verse 12. Even so, as much as you are zealous of spiritual things, seek that you may, the same word again, that you may excel to the edifying of the church. That's ministry. Wherefore, let him that speaks in tongues pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in unknown tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. How is it? I will pray with the spirit and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit and I will sing with the understanding also. Else where you bless with the spirit, how shall he that occupies the room of the unlearned say amen at the giving of thanks, seeing that he understands not what you say? Or vow, verily, verily give thanks well, but the other is not what? Edify. Can you see that now? So he's teaching on do all speak with tongues, do all interpret. Okay? Do all speak with tongues, do all interpret. At that point, he's not referring to the gifts of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians 2:4. He's referring to the operations. He's asking them a question in Corinth. When you all gather, do you speak with tongues and interpret? And he told them the essence why that operation of the Spirit of God must be stirred up in their midst so that they will edify the church. He's not asking them whether they don't have it or they have it. He's telling them that the gifts of the Spirit work in everybody. So, all you need to do at this point for that operation of diversity of tongues is to what? Seek to interpret. That's all. So, chapter 14, for you to know that that operation is in the body. Say with me, in the body. Great. It goes on and says to them, verse 23, if therefore the whole church be come together in one place and all speak with tongues, that is the gifts of the Spirit. Right? Right? Which is available to everybody. And all speak with tongues, and there come in those who are learned, the unbelievers, will they not say that you are mad? But if all prophesy, that if all interpret their tongues, are you there? And there come in one that believes not, or unlearned, is convinced of all, is judged of all. Thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest, and so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in truth is in you. Verse 26. How is he then, brethren? When you come together, every one of you has a psalm, has a doctrine, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying. Now again, of course, Thank God for those who taught us the things of the Spirit and we are ever grateful. This was a scripture we call Holy Ghost meeting, believers meeting, spirit meeting. And we say in the spirit meeting, the believers meeting, tongues are given, interpretation is given, edification is given, and all that. You see again, it's a letter. When he said, let all things be done unto edifying, he had told you what will edify. What will edify? He emphatically kept saying prophecy. So he's saying, listen, let all these things be done to edify. What exactly is Paul teaching? Paul is teaching that when a tongue is interpreted, you will have a psalm, you will have a doctrine, you will have a revelation. That's what he's saying. Let it be done unto edifying. Why? Look at the next verse. If any man, you know the next verse, it doesn't talk about psalms again. It doesn't talk about revelation. The next thing it talks about is what? Eh? Come on, verse 27. What's the first thing it talks about? Eh? But you know, in the order of 26, tongues was not the first thing. So that shows you that what it was emphasizing in 26 was what? The use of tongues. Are you following this? He was talking about the use of tongues. Look at how tongues will be used. If any man, now before you go to verse 26. How shall I profit you, verse 6, sorry, except I speak by revelation, knowledge, prophesying, or by doctrine? Revelation, knowledge, prophesying, or by doctrine, teaching. 26, a psalm, a doctrine, a tongue, a revelation, an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying. 27, if any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two, or at most by three, and by that course, let one do what? Do you understand that? Let one do what? Interpret. You know, he's teaching us how to desire the greater one. Are you following this? Which is the oppression? Desire the oppression. He says, if there be no interpreter. Actually, that word is a word that means interpretation. If there be no interpretation from the three that gave tongues, let him, or the last person that gave tongues, let him keep silence in the church. And let him speak to what? And I know some churches say, let him keep silent. He didn't say keep silent. That silence was relative. Let him keep silence and speak. That means he cannot minister it to anybody, but he can do what? Minister it to what? Himself. Because he that speaks in tongues edifies himself. This is the reason why you will come to a service and will speak with tongues. We are not ministering. It will not be funny if somebody comes up to the pulpit and begins to preach in tongues. That's going to be the problem. But as we are all here filled with the Holy Ghost, we can speak to ourselves and to what? But when there's an interpretation for the church, a man can get up and by that course give that message to the church. And when that message is interpreted, it will come out in form of a psalm, it will come out in form of a hymn, it can come out in form of a revelation. It can come out in form of a teaching. An instruction. Okay? Look at the next thing. Let him keep silence. Let the prophets speak two or three. And let the other judge. If any be revealed to another that sits by, let the first hold his peace. What is he talking about here again? If anything be what? Revealed. When he says, let the prophet speak two or three, and let the other judge. Verse 31, you may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn, and all may be comforted. Because the man who is a prophet has the operation of what? Diversities of tongues. That let the prophets, the mature believers, speak two at most by three. They will give tongues an interpretation. And when they do it, he says the reason, he told the believers who cannot intercede, keep quiet. Now let the prophets, the mature people. Okay? Let them speak two at most by three. Let somebody else judge. Let them judge what? Let them judge their tongues and interpretation, which will bring out a hymn, a psalm. What else? A doctrine, a revelation. If anything be revealed. Be revealed from what? Be revealed from tongues an interpretation. That's what he's teaching here. You may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be comforted. 32, we're going to see that later. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophet. He didn't say the spirit of the prophet. He said the spirits of the prophet. That word, spirits of the prophet, is the same word he used in 1 Corinthians 12:1. Spirituals, pneumaticals, the things of that pertain to the spirit. Referring to the gifts of the spirit and the operations. He said they are subjects. They depend on the prophet. So these things are not like, you know, that's why I told them that you were Gentiles, carried away with dumb idols. That word carried away, led away, is a very strong word that is just like something compelling you to do things. He's saying that we are not compelled. We are not compelled. These things are subject. If they are not subject to you, you won't be taught like this. When you hear spirit, people think spirit is something you cannot explain. No, it is spirit. If it is spirit, you can't explain. There is nothing of the spirit that cannot be explained. He just explained it to you. They are subject to the prophet. Why did he use that word, subject to the prophet? Because the prophet is the mature person. He has said, firstly prophets. Apostles, secondarily prophets. He's a minister, a ministry gate. He's the mature person here. That's why he said, if any think himself, verse 37, to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. So you can see that the people he had issues with were those who are what? Spiritual. Those who could not interpret, obviously, were folks who were just being developed. They were developing gradually the things of God. Hallelujah. Are you there? Are you following this? So what he was teaching was tongues in the local church, tongues in the meetings. The operations of tongues in the meeting will come out as a ministry. To come out as diversities of tongues. I'm not talking about your use of tongues privately as we are preaching or as we worship God. I'm talking about when a man comes up to minister, that is operations. Where it's now diversities of tongues. Tongues plus what? Interpretation. And in case you think that, you know, we don't know who the... he said he set it in the body. After that, those that are available to every member of the body, whatever... We saw last week that both the apostle, the prophet, and the teacher will have diversity of tongues. I think we saw that last week. Okay, so the same way, every believer who is well taught in the word of God will have the operations of tongues and interpretation. The diversity of tongues. It's just people are not taught. They are not taught. Some people have enough information to make them not do anything. That's it. Enough information that will make them to do nothing. Okay? So the operations of the Spirit are subject. The operations of the... That shows you must separate the gifts of the Spirit. Watch this. You can see now that you have to separate the gifts of the Spirit, the workings, from the Holy Ghost Himself. That's why we started from that these things are given and they are received. The way a man now functions in them will be as a result of what he knows and his ignorance also. At that point, you will see disorder. People can flow with these things in disorder. It does not take away the fact that they were given by God. Are you following this? Paul is saying that you can come here now and give a message in tongues. Say you are given by God. You'll be edified. He said, but somebody is not edified. That is, you are an illiterate in these things. Hence, you cannot function in the operation. Now, is God has given it. It is in your reception of those things that we now find disorder. Some people say, they see some disorder, they think it's not God. Mm-mm. There can be disorder, and the author of the disorder is not God. You see, but the gifts of the Spirit and the things of the Spirit were given by God. That's why he said the Spirit of the prophet as subject to the prophet. Who is the man that is well taught? Remember one brother like that, when he first started learning the things of God, Interestingly, he called me today after many years. I met him. He has been born again for 10 years and never spoken a syllable in tongues. I told him, how are you doing it? How are you struggling? What's the secret? Tell me, what happened from the throne back to the cross and then back to Gethsemane? How did you do it? He said, you know, so that day we called him for a meeting and all that. And truth of the matter is this. He had been to one meeting, two meetings, he was just watching. There was no lesser power in all those meetings. You understand my point? There was no lesser power. It's not lesser power. It's just you. So that day, he began to speak with tongues. The very first action he took, you think it was a devil. He jumped on the chair, kicked it. Bah! Bah! You know some spirit brothers? I love to tell some people and remind them the very first day they started. I know the first day some people started. I know the first things they did. So you can't accuse anybody. You know, my boy. So the guy would go, hey, bo. I said, calm down. And as he was speaking with tongues, he was giving the interpretation. Well, the interpretation, nobody was hearing because all the sisters had run away. It was very hefty. Hey, as he was speaking, and I just stood close by and I heard what he was saying. So when he came back, I gave it to everybody. Say, thank God for you. But he was just learning. He was just learning. You know, you see some people say they give tongues like that. You say, they think the tongues come from the east, interpretation comes from the west. So they are thinking, these tongues are finished now. You know why? They are not taught. And the second thing, they are not desiring. You know, I told you, you can only desire what you know. If you have been wrongly taught, you won't desire it. You see that church, you will just speak all those tongues, they speak that rubbish they speak. You know, you're already having a problem. You see that place? You see one lady in trousers, she always giving and you know, people that are ignorant speak loud. And you know that they're very loud. I met a guy like that, he was just speaking. He said somebody is Antichrist. I said, eh? He said Pastor Chris is Antichrist. I said, they were all in trouble. I said, why? He now pointed me to Matthew 24. I said, there is no Antichrist in Matthew 24. He checked again. I said, what is there is false Christ. Antichrist is in 1 John 4. He said, yes. He said, spirit of error. I said, let me tell you what the spirit of error is. Any spirit that does not convert, Jesus came in the flesh and died. He said, it's spirit of error. He didn't see it. He said, he teaches that God looks at the heart. He doesn't look at the outside. He said, God said it himself. In fact, I can quote God verbatim. He had never read it. And he had a website. Don't be in a hurry. But said, don't be too desirous to be a teacher. He had a website with pages. He said, I don't have a website. I don't have a website. He said, you know, and he began to say, he said, you believe that? I said, I don't. God said it, I have to believe it. He said, 1 Samuel 16:7. Did you see it? So we began to see again. He said, but Peter said that we should not wear a ring. Peter said we should not do our hair. Peter is saying exactly the opposite of what you are saying. He said, I know what I'm saying. I said, let's see it together. He said, you see, wearing of gold, putting of hair. I said, last one, read it. Putting on of clothes. Shall I get back to you? Just log off. You understand? You know? We had a website. He had put all those things there. The Antichrist ministers, though. Antichrist. He speaks to empty vessels, make the loudest noises. You know? He has not come back to me. But I'm waiting. You know? So people have already, the reason why some of us have never flowed is because you have some junk in your head. Junk. All the quite rubbish. All in your mind. Auntie Mokwe, that one the righteous woman, she's speaking, you two have been speaking the same tongue. You know, people are so particular. They say some people's tongues are similar. How did you take notes? It just shows that you are an unlearned person. What's your own? You understand? So, the truth of the matter is that the reason why those operations do not function in many of our churches is because of the things people are taught, things on their minds. They have been given. Amen. Just like every operation has to be what? Received. This is it. But when you have thought in one direction like that, and you see you have, and some people don't even know where some verses of scripture are, but they know the meaning. They don't know where the verse is, but they know the meaning. You understand? The young man told me that, you see, the Bible says that a woman will not put on her trousers, did you see trousers there? He said, well, you have to be trousers. Say, let's see some other versions. That is, you must not shave your beard. You must not plant maize and rice. He said, sir, this is getting too contemporary. I said, you are getting too before the law. You didn't even come after the law. Praise God. You know, the Bible says sin, reign, is that way. But they didn't know. He's before the law. Selah. So, watch this carefully. The oppressions mentioned in 1 Corinthians 12 and 20, verse 30 can be desired. That's all. They can be what? Desired. Those oppressions can be desired. You cannot desire, listen carefully, being an apostle or a prophet or a teacher. You can only receive that. But you can desire these operations because God set them in the body. And as we have seen them here, as Paul taught them in 1 Corinthians 14, they're a function of a man's mindset. And your mindset is informed by the kind of information you put there. Hallelujah. That's to the degree. So you can see, it's about receiving it. So last week, we also saw something last week, don't forget, that when a man is born again, that thing, that utterance is said about Jesus being Lord, we saw that it is what? It is given by the Holy Ghost. That with that utterance comes the same ability to speak with tongues and prophesy. That is why, observe church, that in Acts 2, and Acts 10, and Acts 19, we didn't just have gifts of the Spirit. When they are in operation, you see them as ministry. Are you listening now? When they are in operation towards others, in Acts 2, they spoke with tongues and interpreted it. That was why those people could hear them say, we magnify God. In Acts 10, the same thing. That's the order. They spoke with tongues and magnified God. In Acts 19, so it shows you that the gift of speaking with tongues, let me use that for learned men, comes with it the same ability to interpret. Because all these things, 1 Corinthians 12:11, worketh the one and self-same Spirit. So it's not that you begin to look for it. Dividing to every man severally as he desires. As he wills. And we have seen that the as he wills there is not the Holy Ghost. He has told you what the Holy Ghost has done. The Holy Ghost has given. As he desires now refers to you. And I showed you the synonyms in the scripture when Jesus gave out food and every man was given as he needed. When they shared in Acts 2 and Acts 4, every man as he needed. That's the same synonym used in 1 Corinthians 12:11. He's not talking about the giver, he's talking about the recipient as he will. So the question is, when it comes to the oppressions, the workings, how much do you desire? How much of it do you desire? Because God has set them in the church either way. So, having said that, we saw that tongues, therefore, will come to us as a ministry. It comes for prayer. We have seen it. You can pray. Okay? You can sing to God. But, church, if you can sing to God in the Spirit, and you can pray to God in the Spirit, the same walking will cause you to communicate the same thing in your new language. In this instance, English language, which is the medium, I believe everybody here is English speaking. Depending on what kind of version you have, but at least you speak something. You understand? The English language therefore becomes the recipient of that operation. The recipient of that operation. Now let me say this. Are you aware that the language that you speak today is a function of you? You received it, then you communicated it back. Okay? They said, they told you, this is a car. From that point, your mind registered that it was a car. And then you said, it's a car. And then you verbalize it. You vocalize it. The same way, when a man speaks with tongues, there is the ability of the Holy Ghost that has been given to you that points to you what you are saying. Many times, what happens is that as you speak with tongues, you have an impression. Your job, your health, where you are going tomorrow. So English will now pick up what has been shared in your mind. Then you will verbalize it out. That's the same way it happens to minister. It will come to you like that. Now, to the degree where you can communicate that thing in English is to the degree, listen carefully, of the information of the Word of God that you have. That is the degree. That's why Paul exercised the operations more than they all, because he was the pastor. The same thing with those who are spiritual. 1 Corinthians 14. The same thing to those spiritual, they actually refers to those who are given the things of the Spirit. Then to the prophet who are matured. So when there's an operation of the Spirit there's an operation of the gifts of the Spirit, and they have a direction, they know how to communicate it to the church. Now we've seen some people like that who say, well, you know, somebody can come and say, you will just pick a tongue and they'll say, I the Lord, I'm with you. You know why I said that? That's what he knows. Obviously, something is being communicated to him that he cannot verbalize because of how he has received it. You will see somebody pick up from there by the Holy Ghost and he will expatiate further. So to the degree, that's why Paul said, there will be sound, knowledge, doctrine. Those who can take it to the level of doctrine are those who are well informed. They can take it to the level of doctrine. So we'll just sing it out. So we'll just reveal something to us. So, when those things come, those things we see in 1 Corinthians 14:26 are operations. The ways tongues can come to us in the assembly as a ministry. Let me say this. You cannot separate tongues from the move of God in the church. That's why there's been a lot of battle against it. I've been called names. But somebody said I'm addicted to tongues. Same as Paul. I'm in a good company. You understand? Because these things are very clear in his epistle. Let me now add this. Paul was writing to a church that was feeding on milk. He was taking them from milk to meat. So milk is to be speaking with tongues for self-edification alone. To take you to meat is when you can exercise yourself to the level of ministry. Where you can actually in your church, in your local assembly, be given to edifying the church. He did not zero tongues. Rather, he said tongues plus prophecy tongues plus interpretation will equal prophecy. Now let's now look at a simple aspect. I know some of us came into service and you saw Pastor Wally lead songs and, you know, some of us are now used to things like sang and all that. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 14. Verse 15. How is it then? I will pray with the spirits, I will pray with the understanding. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding. Do you know the thing? Watch this. When I pray in the spirit, who is my audience? When I pray with the interpretation, with the understanding, who is my audience? Eh? The church. When I sing in the spirit, who is my audience? When I sing with the understanding, who is my audience? Are you following this? Good. So, as you are singing in the spirit today, in the church, it says, you will now sing in the, when you sing out in the understanding, it is not for God. It is that so that somebody in the church can say amen. Are you following this? He didn't say, I will sing with understanding. I will sing with the understanding. The understanding is particular. That is, the understanding of what I had sung where? In the spirit. Does that make sense to you? The understanding of what I had sung in the spirit, I will sing. Okay. So, when we sing in the spirit and sing in tongues, what is likely to come out in the understanding? So that men can join us to worship God. Don't forget, this is only for those who are unlearned. But ministry is for all men. So that's why, when it comes to ministry, it goes beyond just you knowing what you are doing. You have to communicate what you are doing to others. How can it come out? Look at Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 18. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Speaking. Now look at the word speaking and hold on to it. The word speaking with the Spirit is what? Utterance. Clear? Aha. That's an operation of the Spirit of God in you. Speaking. You know, people think, he mentions psalms, hymns. You know, some very, very great believers, God bless their darling heart, will now bring out Psalm 46. He didn't say read psalms. He said speak it. By the Holy Ghost. If I see Psalm 91, if that's not by the Holy Ghost, that's by King James. Hallelujah. That was by King James. He said, hymns. That was the hymn. How are you doing this? Oh, Ephesians 5:19, sir. You are not serious. All the Psalms of David were prophetic in nature. That was a gift of prophecy. Okay? That's why David was said to be in the spirit, saying that. You see him speak to God, bless God. You see him also speak concerning the future. So, when we are in the spirit, well, let me use that, and we speak, because a man is always in the spirit, really, in psalms. The word psalms is a word that means to give like a recitation, like an ode, like a poem. We can speak to ourselves in psalms, like an ode. It can rhyme, it may not rhyme. Also, hymns. What does that mean? That means, watch this. Don't forget, it said making melody in your heart with the Lord. So you're actually praising God, at the same time you are speaking to others. To do what? To praise God. So, two things are happening. You are singing to the Lord, and you are ministering to the church. Are you following that now? Okay. So, I speak a psalm as an ode, a poem. Also, it says an hymn. A psalm is oftentimes for you. It goes this way. Something that encourages you, brings comfort and edification to you. A psalm comes like this. An hymn, watch me, goes up. An hymn is a song. It goes up. Now you see the last word, a spiritual song. Why did he use the word spiritual song? Again, he brings in the word things of the spirit. Without much ado, a spiritual song is a song that reveals something. That one goes to the church. I'll look for a song like that, that somebody, I believe, was a song in past. And then, you know, I'm trying to see, maybe a camp meeting, when Pastor Wally sang the song, the anointing is so strong in here, that's a spiritual song. To put our attention on the power of the Holy Ghost at work in the meetings, so that men can receive. Are you following this? Are you following this now? So, your tongues, when you are giving it out in the church, can come in those manners. In a psalm, in a hymn, or a spiritual song. In fact, in Colossians 3, verse 16, Paul says that it can be used to teach. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in the heart of the Lord. Can you see again? You are teaching people with it, yet you are doing what? Can you see that? So it's an operation. If you just sing to God, great. But it's now a tool for ministry. This is how church should be. Not all these songs that they will import from Akon and they will spiritualize it and they'll bring one redeem from one rubbish place and all that. And then they say, somebody came to our fellowship some years back then and they said, sir, just thinking of all these songs that unbelievers sing, can't we just convert it? I said, to what? To a Christian? He said, I'm just looking at this song. I believe in your name. I believe in your wonderful name. I said, if you continue believing there, I'll send you out of this direction. I said, are you dead with him? He said, in your heart. He didn't say by TV. To the Lord. Making melody. The word making melody is the word that David talked about, praising God with the string instrument. So actually there's a stringed instrument in our spirit, hallelujah, that can produce music in this place now. Because in a couple of minutes now, hallelujah, you'll function like that. Amen. Say, I am born of the Spirit. It's my realm. I desire the operation of diversities of tongues. Is that simple? Another time. Can just be a blessing to people. None of them have ever been a blessing in their life. Any church. How they watch all what others are doing. Are you sure that's God? That sister, that brother. How can that person interact? That's what they are doing. That means they are not, you know, let's leave that. But basically, you know, it's being filled with the Spirit. Be being filled. Some good teachers have told us that what is being filled, to maintain the spirit-filled life, which is a function of your own desire towards the things of God. Hallelujah. Okay, so basically, you know, these operations function in the church. They function in the church. They function in the church. And we will get to the depths in the name of Jesus. We'll get to the depths of them. We will surely get to the depths of them. They are depths of the things of God. When those operations, and let me tell you something cool about the operations of the gifts of the Spirit in the local assembly. There is discovery in them. You see, as things begin to happen, there will be discovery. I showed you about Philip and Stephen. There's discovery. You know, as things are just happening, you become. See, the more of these things you practice, you become more aware of yourself. You just become more aware. Well, this is really true. And you just become more aware of where you stay in the body of Christ. You just become more aware. Because the word ministry is a verb, something that you do. You got more aware. Because they are things of the Spirit. You got more aware. As we yield ourselves to these things that are of God. Next week we'll go into, other things. We'll now begin to look at those operations in meetings. We actually want to look at meetings. Christian meetings. Hallelujah. How Christian meetings, how we actually make church happen. That's what Paul said there. He said you can make church happen. Some people just wait on the Spirit of God. Come, Holy Spirit, come here. Holy Spirit, come. And they are waiting. But the Spirit of God is that the Holy Ghost has been there. Your presence is the presence of the Holy Ghost. Because you are His house. Hallelujah. You are His house. What we actually wait on is our desires for the operations of the gifts of God. That's what we are waiting on. Some folks can take them a long time. There goes some churches like that. And you want to teach on these things. Can take you. I remember one place like that. It took me like 3 weeks of teaching. Of course, not every day. I went there Saturdays and Sundays for 3 weeks before I got them into, But a thought that is well taught doesn't take you so long. No. That was why on the day of Pentecost, things happened suddenly. We saw that they weren't sudden. Jesus had taught them before that day. It always makes things easy. When you are taught. How many days did Jesus teach them? 40 days. You know there's a lot in 40 days. There's a lot in 40 days. Every day you are being taught. It has to be suddenly. Praise God. It just has to be suddenly. So the same way, these things are taught so that you can function in them. Hallelujah. So that you can function in them. So we'll start like this, You know, he said the spirit of the prophet is subject to what? Huh? Let's assume you are a prophet. Don't get scared. I'm not a fake prophet. He said I'm a prophet. I said assume. We have seen that why he talked about prophets was to the degree where there was no word. Where men were still unlearned. He now calls for the ministry gifts. Come, you. Either way, let things slow. But you know, we started the whole church and there's no ministry gift there. Everybody just say, there's no adaptation. Let's close church. Let's go. They're having nursery church. Okay? So, now, he said the spirit of the prophet is the prophet. You know, he said that you can actually, as you come out to give tongues, you can keep quiet, right? And, that means you can control the volume of your tongues. You don't have to disturb your neighbor. But it was the Holy Ghost is moving me out of this place. You know somebody like that, one meeting like that. And they said, please be still in Jesus' name. And she kept quiet. Oh! And they said, in Jesus' name, let sister be quiet. The only thing that when they are talking to somebody, they're not hearing human beings again. No, he didn't say that. Hey! Hey, that was the Holy Ghost. He just told the ushers to get the guy out. And as Joshua was carrying him out, he said, the Holy Ghost is even carrying me out. He's even carrying me out. Some people are just like that. He said, let him be quiet. Because the spirit of the prophet is what? I'll do something for you now. Amen. Let me be the Holy Ghost here. Don't run out of church. I'm not the Holy Ghost. I don't live in you now. When I'm teaching you like this, who is teaching you? Eh? You know some folks, the Holy Ghost is just like, that's what I've been telling you for 6 years. 6 years. No, 6 years. The Holy Ghost is taking them to the right meetings. They'll go and do spectator. He just led them to Saints Community. And they'll still be watching. So they are in this tongue thing. The Spirit lost out of the flesh, out of the Spirit. They can't do, the same thing. Hallelujah. We'll do something now. Let's talk in tongues. Everybody. Some say, I've never talked in tongues. Talk now. It doesn't come better than this. Amen. Let's take it again. Make it loud. Very loud. Yeah, stop. Okay. You don't have to stop. Is that the Holy Ghost you are doing? Stop and stop. Is that the Holy Ghost? Is you. Amen. So I'll do something for you. When I go up like this, you raise the volume. When I come down like this, you come down. When I let you stop. Ready? Oh yeah. Oh yeah, now. See? You did not stop. You know you were edified. You know you were edified. You were edified. I don't know why I'm edified. Your mind is unfruitful. Praise God. Again. Come down. Can you see that? Now, that also means, now, let's do it again. Do you know something? Keep talking. When Paul said, if there be no interpreter, let him speak to himself and to God. Do you know if he's quiet enough, he will get an interpretation. Hallelujah. Get an interpretation. Because oftentimes you didn't get one because you were not listening. Let's go on again, a bit more. Calm down a bit. Hallelujah. See that? That means that things are within your grasp. Praise God. Let him keep silent and speak to himself. So you can control, you can put some bass, you know, remove some treble, the way you conduct yourself in church. Praise God. So let's do this. Let's stand up, everybody. You know, let me tell you something funny. We are not actually teaching tongues, though. We are teaching operations.